Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're pressing on in Psalm. We're in the 25th Psalm. And in the previous episode, we looked at the first seven verses. And this is a Psalm of David where he declares, God, you're my God. Oh, Lord, I lift up my soul to you. And he says, I trust in you. Don't let me be ashamed. Don't let my enemies, exalt over me. And then he asks God some things. He says, you know, I want to know your ways, God. Teach me your paths. Teach me your ways. You're the God of my salvation. I wait on you all the day. And he says, Lord, remember me. Okay. And the reason is, God, your compassion and your loving kindness have been from of old, as it said in the New American Standard. And it literally means from everlasting. And then David says, and boy, don't we all grab a hold of this. Hey, God, please don't remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. And I don't think that's limited to just the transgressions of youth. I think it speaks to the transgressions of now. And he said, according to your loving kindness, remember me for your goodness sake, O Lord. And that's where we left off. According to your loving kindness, not according to my ability to perform perfectly, my ability to do everything the way that I know I should, my ability, et cetera. No. It's according to your loving kindness, Lord, according to that, for your goodness sake, oh Lord. Then verse 8, he picks it up and says this, good and upright is the Lord. It's just a declarative statement. The Lord is good. The Lord is upright. And that upright means exactly what it says, upright, standing up straight, is correct, is without error. The Lord is upright. And the Lord is good. There is no evil found in him. And this particular Hebrew word means pleasant, agreeable. It just means good. Therefore, David says, verse 8, therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. So he's about to go through a couple of things here of what God does. And the reason he does these things is because he's good and he's upright. So he instructs sinners in the way. Why does God instruct sinners in the way? Because he's good. Because he's upright. We learn later on in Scripture that he desires for all men to walk in relationship rightly and righteously with him. And he instructs sinners. And then verse 9, he leads the humble in justice. The humble are the ones that are, the word literally means afflicted. He leads them in justice. He teaches the humble his ways. So he instructs sinners in the ways. In other words, sinners, this is the way that you need to go. This is what the Lord did with each one of us before we believed, okay? He instructed us in the way, whether he instructed through his word or instructed through the Spirit or instructed through the body of Christ with one another, instructed through his creation. All these things are what God uses to speak to sinners. But then also this, he teaches the humble his way. So he instructs the sinners in the way of righteousness, the way of holiness. But then he teaches those who are humble. In other words, those who are afflicted in his ways. Verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are loving, kindness, and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimony. So if we keep the covenant of the Lord, if we keep the testimonies of the Lord, then all the paths of the Lord are loving, kindness, and truth. And when we run into sin and error and make the wrong decisions, it's not because it's the path that the Lord led us down, because we took a different path. Okay? To those who keep his covenant, how do we keep his covenant? We keep his covenant by belief and by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that God gave him as the fulfillment of the old covenant that he gave the Lord Jesus literally as the Messiah of all mankind. Then verse 11, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. So David keeps reiterating this. He keeps saying, Lord, forgive me for my youthful sins, forgive me for my transgressions, pardon my iniquity. Now for your name's sake, he has said that before, for your name's sake, That is such a powerful statement. Lord, do this in your name, by your name, to the praise of the glory of your grace. That's the idea behind it. And so he's saying, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. He acknowledges it. And I think most of us would understand that even though we acknowledge our iniquity and we know that it's great, that it's actually a lot greater than that, right? It's a lot greater than we know. Yeah, more than likely that's true. For your name's sake, O Lord, do this. Then verse 12, who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. So we see that the Lord instructs, the Lord teaches. That's sort of the whole thing with this particular psalm right here. But if you fear the Lord, if you fear the Lord, and all this entailed with that fearing of the Lord, okay, then the Lord will instruct you. He'll instruct you in the way that you should choose. And not only that, verse 13, his soul will abide in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. And so if you fear the Lord, the Lord's going to instruct you in the right way. But not only that, your soul will abide. And that prosperity literally just means a simple word, good. That you will abide in good things. You will benefit. You'll have welfare from that abiding. And that your descendants, your seed, your offspring, and we often think of that just children and perhaps grandchildren, but it goes well beyond that into all eternity, okay? That your descendants will inherit the land. Well, that's good. But it's actually the word eris, which can be translated land, and it is, but is often translated earth. Yeah, often translated earth. Then verse 14, last one we'll look at today. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them know his covenant. Is that not intriguing? Well, to start with, anytime I see the word secret in the scripture, my attention is arrested by it, right? Not exactly sure why, just maybe the mystery of it, right? Mystery, secret, this kind of thing. But you see it. And the secret of the Lord is for those who fear him. So what is meant by secret? Well, it's really the idea of the counsel of the Lord or the intimacy of the Lord. That the Lord will be intimate with the one, that we will hear from the Lord. We'll have counsel, secret counsel. One translation is like familiar converse, familiar intimacy with the Lord. And this is not just something that happens, okay? And the idea behind it, Zodiotius says it's confidentiality. Zodiotius said confidentiality is at the heart of this. And so the secret, the intimate counsel of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them, who? The ones who fear him, know his covenant. Folks, there's so much more in relationship with God than what we have experienced. Why don't we step into it? What do you think? Well, again, I'm Dale. Hey, thank you for your time. I'll see you in the next episode.